Open up your Bibles with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 9. Andy had previously led us in reading this, and this is where we started our series last week. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Last week we gave a little bit of a backdrop on the occasion for this prophecy, but God through Isaiah has spoken, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." And last week we spent time in the first part of that verse talking about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, that this child that would be born will be fully human, but not just another human child. This is a son that is given, talking about the pre-existing nature of Jesus Christ. The child is born, the son is given, and what will we name this child? What is God going to call this child, unlike any other child that's ever been born? A child who will have the very government upon his shoulder. Well, we saw last week that one scholar discovered over 700 names in the Bible for this child, and here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, there's four. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. And His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. And I find it interesting the order that these are put in. I suppose I probably would have put Mighty God first, but there was a reason God didn't do that, I suppose. Or maybe Everlasting Father, but no, the first thing that's mentioned is that this child is going to be known as the Wonderful Counselor. Let's talk about counseling for a moment. Have you ever gotten bad advice from someone? I last week looked up a forum on the internet that was asking this question. What was the worst advice you ever got? The answers were interesting. Maybe you got some of this bad advice. One person said, "The worst advice that I ever got was, you won't get caught." Another woman had written, "The worst advice I ever got, stay with him. He'll change." Another said the worst advice they ever got was, "Oh, come on, what's another beer?" How about this one? Someone else said the worst advice they ever got was, "Turn here, I know a shortcut." And another one said, and I'd like to know what the backdrop was for this one. Another one said, the worst advice they ever got was, "If your parents come home, I'll tell them it was my idea." Well, in Isaiah's day, I think there was a reason Wonderful Counselor was listed first, because there was a bad need for counseling. For the right kind of counseling, we saw this verse last week, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19. "And when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living?" And in the midst of sin and rebellion and darkness and national danger looming overhead, where did people turn to for advice? We need counseling. We need some help. Where do we turn? God says, why don't people turn to God for counsel? Why are you going to all these other sources? Recall that this prophecy was made during the reign of King Ahaz. He was a wicked and idolatrous king. And the military threat came from the Israelite king, King Pekah, and the Syrian king, Rezin. And we saw that they wanted to overthrow Ahaz and put a more compliant king in his place. So Ahaz, in seeking counsel, decided to go to Assyria And he went to Tiglath-Pileser and asked for help. Again, you can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 16. But in the midst of the need for counseling, look what Isaiah chapter 11 verses 1 through 2 say. Again, speaking of the Messiah. And again, look at how this Messiah is going to be known. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. What kind of spirit is this? He is the spirit of wisdom and understanding. He is the spirit of counsel and might. He is the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And then down in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 29, all this comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. You know, people today look for counsel from all kind of areas, don't they? Whether it's tuning in the TV to Dr. Phil, or opening up the newspaper to read Dear Abby. There's a lot of shows right now built around this concept of, I need some outside help. Come and counsel me. Right? Like Super Nanny. Do they still have those Super Nanny shows on TV? Or my kids are out of control and I need this British woman to come in and help knock us all back in line? There's another show on now called Kitchen Nightmares, where people running restaurants, have you seen this show? People running restaurants call in this famous chef, what am I doing wrong? They get counsel. Most people turn everywhere else except to God. They'll go to psychologists, they'll go to psychiatrists, they'll go to analysts and astrologers, and they'll turn to their worldly friends. And there's a lot of advice out there. And we can put all that together and say, how do you know what to believe? How do you know what the best advice is when we need counsel? I think sometimes as Christians we forget that we might turn to the Christian bookstore, or we might turn the radio or TV on to get counsel, but sometimes we forget and we neglect that we have access to the most wonderful counselor that there is. What does this mean, wonderful counselor? Well, a counselor is someone gifted in the ability to communicate. A counselor is somebody who knows how to solve people's problems. Now, this name for wonderful in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, that word wonderful is also in Judges chapter 13 and verse 18. And there it's translated beyond understanding. That this isn't just someone else who gives advice in the midst of all these other people who give advice. This is someone beyond understanding who's going to come and counsel. We see that in the life of Jesus Christ. You see it over and over. People astonished at His teaching, even as a young man. Teaching in the temple. Teaching the teachers. John chapter 7 verse 46, speaking of the adult ministry of Jesus Christ, this was the response. No one ever spoke like this man. That's another proof of the deity of Jesus Christ. No one in history has ever spoken like Jesus Christ. When you study the Gospels, you see that Jesus always knew what to say. Jesus always knew when to reach out. Jesus always knew when to rebuke. And sometimes when we try to give counsel to others, we fail in those areas, don't we? Sometimes we offer a kind word when we need to offer a rebuke. Sometimes we rebuke someone when they need compassion. But Jesus was never out of line in His counsel. So this morning, I'd like us to look at what makes Jesus the wonderful counselor. You know, if God said this Messiah is going to be the wonderful counselor, how does Jesus Christ fulfill that prophecy? I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 14. We're going to read this verse now, and then we're going to come back to it here when we get down to one of our points here. But how is this still fulfilled today? You see, when we read this, we have to understand that this wasn't just something that was fulfilled during the times of Jesus Christ. It was, But what about for us today, 2008? Is Jesus Christ still the wonderful counselor today that He was when He walked on the earth? First of all, look at verses 16 through 18 with me. We're going to see how Jesus Christ, being God, and the Holy Spirit, being God, still serve as the wonderful counselor. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, you know Him. For He dwells with you, and He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Then skip down with me to verse 21. Jesus said, "Whoever has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father." And look at this. "And I will love him and manifest Myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, "Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word. And My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love Me does not keep My words, and the word that you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me." So if you're taking notes, how is Jesus the wonderful counselor? First of all, we're going to see, I'm going to jump around here. I encourage you to look at the verses with me on the wall. We're going to kind of do a little systematic theology study of how Jesus is the wonderful counselor. First of all, Jesus Christ is the source of all truth. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus didn't claim to be a truth. He said He is the truth. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes concerning Jesus Christ, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And Psalm 33, verse 11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations." And see, I love counseling people. It's extremely hard on one hand to sit down and wrestle with people. But on the other hand, for me, it's very easy because I don't have all the answers, and I tell people that up front. I don't have all the answers. But I know someone who does, because Jesus Christ is the source of all truth. And in my counseling, what I try to do is push people to the wonderful counselor, to say, go to Jesus. Go to the Word of God. He has the truth. Where some people see Jesus as one of many options out there, Jesus is the last word. And that's the danger when you go to your secular counselor, and then you go to your worldly friends, and then you go to your godly friends, and then you come to church, and you get all this advice from all these different sources. How do you know which one? Jesus has the last word. He is the source of all truth. Secondly, why is Jesus the wonderful counselor? Jesus Christ is eager to give counsel because of His love for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. The invitation is given to cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. And James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Do you need advice? Do you need counsel? You see, God says, come to me. I love you. And I want to help you. You see, God's never going to be bothered. I've heard people say, well, God probably thinks I'm bothering Him. You are never bothering God when you go to Him for counsel. God says, I love this. I love to be part of your life and to help you and to minister to you and to get you on the right track. You're not going to bother God. Some counselors only care if they get paid, not God. We see here in this verse in James that God gives counsel generously. He doesn't just give you a little nugget of wisdom to take with you. I'll pour it out on you. To who? Well, to everyone. And James also tells us it's without reproach. God's not going to say, well, you didn't take my advice last week, so I'm not going to give you any more this week. Or, I know you've been trying, but you really blew it. No, God's not going to do that. He's going to give you the counsel that you need. So He's eager to give counsel because He loves you. And thirdly, Jesus Christ is sympathetic because He's been there. You see, a lot of times, even when I'm counseling somebody, somebody will come with a situation in their life that I've never personally been through. And there are some that say that that would disqualify a counselor from being able to give counsel. I've heard people say, well, you've never experienced this yourself, so you're really not qualified to give counsel. Well, there's a lot of things I've never experienced firsthand, and I don't think I need to go out and indulge myself in these things just so I can try to help somebody else along. I can point people to the wonderful counselor. But when it comes to living life on earth and the struggles that we face, Jesus has been there. Look at these verses with me in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Say, for this reason, He had to be made like His brothers in every way, the humanity of Jesus Christ, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for the sins of the people, because He Himself suffered when He was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. He's been there. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16 say, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who, in every respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I've had a couple times in counseling people, I've had somebody come in and the first thing they say is, you've never heard this one before. They're like, I hope you're sitting down because I'm going to throw one at you that I'm sure you've never heard. Well, you can rest assured that there's none that Jesus has never heard. He's been doing this for a long time. And in His humanity, Jesus experienced the suffering and temptation that we've all been through. And that's why Hebrews tells us, that's why Jesus is qualified to be that perfect counselor. We can't say, God, you don't know what it's like to suffer like we do here on the earth. God says, yeah, I do. I've been there. Have you ever felt betrayed by somebody? Jesus has. Have you ever been wrongly accused of something? I have. And so is Jesus. He's been wrongly accused. Have you ever had somebody gossip about you? Jesus has. Have you ever been rejected by your family for what you stand on? Jesus has. Have you ever suffered physical pain? Jesus has. Have you ever been in physical need of something? Jesus has. Have you ever been exhausted? Jesus has been there. Have you ever felt lonely? There's nobody there that has your back. Who's there for me? Have you ever felt that? Jesus has. Have you ever suffered loss? Jesus has. You see, He's been there. That's one of the most amazing things about the Incarnation, is God came to experience everything a human being can experience firsthand. Why is Jesus a wonderful counselor? Fourthly, we see that Jesus Christ is always present. Jesus made a promise at the very end of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Jesus said, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. See, we could look around today and say, okay, where are you at, Jesus? I'm having some problems. Where are you? Where's your office? What's your email that I can get a hold of you? How can Jesus still be with us if he ascended into heaven? Well, go back to that passage we looked at earlier in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Once again, we see there's a little bit of a difference between the Greek and the English language. In the English, we use the word another in a lot of different ways, but there were two specific words for another in the Greek language. The one word in the Greek for another is the word heteros, which means a different kind. You know, if somebody offers you a peanut butter cookie and you say, "No, I want another one," meaning I want a chocolate chip cookie. It's a different kind. But there's another word in the Greek for another, and that's the word elos, which means another of the same kind. Somebody gives you a chocolate chip cookie and you say, "I would like another, just like that one," right? Well, that word elos is the word that's used here in John chapter 14 and verse 16. Jesus said, "There's going to come another one just like me, a helper just like himself." The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an influence. You see, Jesus said, "There's another person just like me who's going to come and indwell you." In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, this term for helper applies to Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is that counselor that lives within as the Holy Spirit. You see, if you would come to me for counseling, I can sit down with you and I can talk about what your issue is and how the Bible addresses that, but there is a deficiency that I do have in counseling. It's that I can't follow you around and make sure that you're doing what you need to be doing. And believe me, sometimes I wish that I could. I don't have the time. Nobody has the time to have that kind of a ministry, but to follow somebody around and, stop and think for a second. All right, what are you about to say? Okay, don't say that. Say this instead. See, I wish I could follow people around like that and try to coach them. Say, "Remember what the Bible says. Come on, let's think about this scripture verse before we react to this situation." I can't do that, but Jesus promised that He'd always be present. He will be with you. 1 John 4:13 says, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." Fifthly, Jesus Christ doesn't just offer advice, but He also gives the power. That's another deficiency that I have in counseling. I can tell you what the Bible says, but I can't get inside you and give you the power that you need to make the right decision. But God's Holy Spirit can, and He does. You see, Jesus doesn't tell you that you need help. He gives you the help that you need. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, Jesus Christ invites us to be His yoke fellow. You know, when they had that yoke that holds two oxen, Jesus said, "Take that yoke." Jesus said, "I'm in one side of it, and you're in the other side of it. And that's going to make your plowing a lot easier." Think about it this way. What if I came up to you and I said, "We need that piano moved to the back of the church"? Would you be able to do that yourself? Probably not. If I said to you, "Well, you can pick one person to help you," who are you going to pick? You're going to go out and try to find the biggest, strongest, most coordinated person to try to get that thing back there, right? Well, you see, you have the God of the universe on the other side of the yoke saying, "I'm with you. I'm going to be doing this alongside of you. And it's going to be my power that makes this happen, not yours anyways." Why else is Jesus the wonderful counselor? Finally, Jesus Christ always gets results. Jesus Christ always gets results. When somebody comes to Jesus Christ for counsel and their life is still messed up, The only conclusion is they didn't take the counsel that Jesus Christ gives. But when somebody puts into practice the Word of God into their lives, it really works. Do we have anybody that can testify this morning that it really works? God's Word works. It's had an effect in my life. It really works. He always gets results when people follow His counsel, when people allow His power to go through them. You know, a couple of years ago when we were had Owen diagnosed with autism, we were at a point in our lives where we're like, okay, now what? You know, we just had this bombshell dropped on us. Oh, here's the problem that our son has. Now what? And there was no shortage of counsel in that area. Go to the library or do a little search on the internet. You'll see there's a lot of people that counsel in a lot of different ways on what to do. And some people say it has to be only the biomedical, and some people say it has to be just educational, and some will say, well, just let him go be himself, and he's probably happy that way anyways. And you'll get all kind of advice for something like that. But the thing that got my attention was hearing of people that had children in a similar circumstance that made recoveries. Some would say that their child made a full recovery, and some would say, well, he's still a little off, but he's come a long way. And I say, well, let me talk to the person whose child made a full recovery, and let me see what they did. And that's the kind of counsel that I want to take. I'm not going to take counsel from somebody that says, well, I've been doing this for 5 years, and my child hasn't really changed at all in those 5 years. Give me somebody that's been getting results. That's the counsel that I want. Jesus Christ, spiritually, gets results. Actually, that's what the Gospels are full of. Anytime you see somebody encounter Jesus Christ, you see results of a changed life. Mary Magdalene in Luke chapter 8 was delivered from 7 demons. Would she say Jesus got her some results? Yeah. The Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, married and divorced, living with somebody. Jesus turned her into a missionary. Would she say Jesus' counsel got results in her life? Yeah. What about the woman caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8? She was saved from death and sent on her way, transformed. Would she say that she got results from counselor Jesus? Absolutely she would. Zacchaeus was a despised tax collector, Luke chapter 19. After one session with Jesus, he gave half of his possessions to the poor, repaid everybody else back 4 times what he owed them, and he was never the same. Would Zacchaeus say Jesus gets results? Absolutely he would. Jesus Christ always gets results. So in closing today, I don't want this to be like some kind of an abstract poetic type thing, like, oh, Jesus is our wonderful counselor up there, and we just have to have a warm, fuzzy heart about that. How does Jesus counsel us today? Now, I'd encourage you as we look at this to understand that needing counsel is not a sign of weakness. You know, there's some people I've spoken with, oh, he'll never go get counseling. He sees that as a sign of weakness. It's not. It's a sign of wisdom to know that you need some counsel. There's times in my life that I need counsel, and I thank God for the ways that He's counseled me through His Word and through His Holy Spirit and through Christian brothers here in the church. And let's talk about those things. How does Jesus give counsel today? First of all, through the Bible. Our Pioneer Club verse, we say it every week. Psalm 119, 105, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, we have access to Jesus' counseling handbook. That Jesus says, here's the advice I give. I have it all written down for you. You can reference it. It's a handy desk reference guide. Also in this book, we have transcriptions of His appointments. We can see how Jesus ministered to others going through something we do. So Jesus counsels us through the Bible. Secondly, Jesus counsels us through the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16 and verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now the Holy Spirit works with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit never works independently of the Word of God. What I mean is, if somebody comes and says, well, I think the Holy Spirit told me to do this, and it's contrary to what the Bible says, then I would say the Holy Spirit didn't tell you that. Because God's not going to contradict His own counsel. On one hand He says this, and on the other hand He told you to do something completely different. That doesn't work. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit does give counsel. You can't deny that, even though that is the most subjective way that He counsels. One of the ways He counsels is through conviction. It's a ministry of the Holy Spirit, whether it's a conviction to stop doing something or a conviction. God, have you ever had God like lay somebody in your heart that you've been praying for and wanting to reach out to? And that's God the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Have you ever been really wrestling with something and you've been in prayer about it and you feel that God the Holy Spirit has led you to passages in His Word? Study this, meditate on this. That's the Holy Spirit giving you counsel. He still does that. And then finally, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the wonderful Counselor, gives counsel through the church. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors they succeed. You know, we all got problems. I heard one person call this the 4th-and-1 principle, right? It's 4th down, 1 yard to go. What does the quarterback do? He runs to the coach. Here's somebody that is outside of the mess, looking at everything that's going on. What should I do? What's the best plan of action? And you see, that takes place right here in the church. Sometimes we're so deep into a situation that it's hard for us to see what the best thing is to do. And that's why it's great to go to a Christian brother or sister and say, what's your counsel on this? What do you think God would have me to do here? What do you think the Bible would teach concerning this situation that I'm going through? Without counsel, plans fail. With many advisors, they succeed. Look at these resources we have. We have the counseling manual. We have the counselor living within us. And we're surrounded by people who have the counseling manual that have the counselor living within them. There should be no shortage of good counsel in our lives. So as our hearts turn towards Christmas once again, let's remember that God became a man to face the things that we're facing. Jesus knew what it was like to suffer. Jesus knew what it was like to be tempted in every way. Jesus understood the desire to strike back, the desire to give up, the desire to despair. But the difference between the experience that we go through and the experience that Jesus Christ went through is that He got through those times without sinning. That's what makes Him such a wonderful counselor. See, if I'm struggling with a particular area, if I have an area of defeat in my life, I can't go to somebody else that has the same area of defeat in their life and say, what do you think I should do? It's not working for them either. But to go to someone who experienced the temptation but was able to conquer it, that's a wonderful counselor. One last question I'd like to ask you is, when was the last time you went to the wonderful counselor for a therapy session? When was the last time that you had a therapy session with this counselor? We're going to have a closing song and we're going to invite you to come up and pray, and I'd like to lead us in a closing prayer. But when the pastors and elders stand up front, we're inviting you to come and seek the Lord with us. We're inviting you to come and say, you're going through something. And if you want to come to the wonderful counselor with us and see how He can minister to you through your issues, that's why we're here. So as the elders come forward, I'd like to lead us in a prayer, and then we'll have a song. Father in heaven, we just come before You today and we thank You. that you haven't left us without resources. God, you know all the times in my life that I don't know what to do. And it's just too easy to go by my opinion. It's too easy to do the fleshly thing. It's too easy to sit back and not do anything. And God, we see in your word in Isaiah's day and in our day, because of the darkness and the sin and the rebellion, we're people in need of counsel. We're people that need someone to show us the way. And God, you know that it isn't even enough for us to know the way, because we don't even have the power to take the step. We thank you, God, for providing the power through your Holy Spirit. God, as we focus on this prophecy of Jesus Christ, we see how amazingly and perfectly he fulfilled this role of being the wonderful counselor. And God, it's my prayer this morning that we would not neglect that. That we wouldn't take for granted that we have the greatest resource in the entire universe. And all you've told us to do is ask. So God, might we just come with a whole heart. I pray for this prayer time now as people come forward. God, let us come with a whole heart. And in the days and weeks to follow, God, whatever you allow and provide in our own lives, God, help us to seek to turn to you first and last for the counsel that we so desperately need. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.